Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
I'm really, really tired.
I'm sorry, bud.
Yeah, I had a long day.
Doing what?
Sunbathing at church.
I know where this is going. And I don't like it.
I just wanted to be pure and tan.
I don't want to say it because that means the episode starts. And that
pure and tan.
That we're just going to go with it.
I
just accepted your joke. I'm not. I don't want to admit.
Like I was getting tan.
No, I get it.
But I was also getting pure, dude.
This is stranger still. Welcome to another episode of... Crap, what is this show called?
Strange People. Stranger Things.
Welcome to another episode of Stranger Things. I'm your host, Eleven.
And I'm... Dustin Makes Me Feel Good.
No, Stranger Things, you know that, because you had to hit play on this thing. And it's a show where we answer the questions you never thought to ask.
And I'm John Began.
And I'm Nick Wood, not Eleven.
And it's November.
It's November. I'm trying to be excited about November. It's really
was that like because it's chilly November?
No, I was trying to get really excited about November, which is like the hardest month to get excited about.
It's the in between. It's like, oh, it's not Halloween or Christmas.
Yeah, it's like the upside down.
Man,
you like that?
Just good fast track.
I've got a demogorgon of a topic for us today, John.
Okay,
are you excited for this?
Yep.
I'm going to stop making those references now. Today marks
the... Mark's birthday. I know.
Hi, Mark.
I
Happy birthday, Mark.
Yeah. If your
Hope
name's
you
Mark...
enjoyed that basket.
There's someone's name Mark's birthday.
Yeah. Today actually does mark the last day before Thanksgiving. What I'm trying to say is this is our episode right before Thanksgiving, which that means... Ba-ba-da-ba! It's time for an episode about Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Today's Tuesday, Nick. Movie magic?
You have to tell our listeners that. We recorded it on a Tuesday. So, last year we answered fan questions, listener questions. I don't want to call our listeners fans because I don't know if you like us.
Right.
I'm going to assume.
Yeah, everything.
But this year came from a listener when they linked, it was Amanda, linked an article to a tiny little synopsis of a book about who the pilgrims really were.
Yeah.
Because in 2017, and I guess years prior, we kind of painted pilgrims in this Puritan light, if you will. We like to think of them as these great people that did great things and contributed a lot to America and American history. Go on.
I kind of felt the opposite. I kind of just bunched them all together as a bunch of white jerks.
They kind of were. You're thinking of like the original settlers.
Well, the other
like John
thing,
Smith and all them. These guys are different.
Let me say real quick. You ask any kindergartner today if Christopher Columbus was a pilgrim, they're going to say yeah.
Yeah.
And I might have said that.
You did say it.
Yeah.
Before we started.
I mean,
I don't know if you're serious or not, but you're still an idiot. So this is sort of a I don't know if it's a debunking episode because that article led me into thinking, where did Thanksgiving come from?
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in like elementary school, like you said, we get taught this very
Christopher Columbus arrived in America, rode a turkey.
Yeah.
And then the pilgrims were like,
hey, I
give
want
us
to ride
food.
That turkey.
Yeah. And the Native Americans were like, oh my, we love you guys so much. You're so great. Here's some food. We're going to teach you about this big weird horn thing. And you could go,
it's called a cornucopia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think I learned that in school. Maybe you did in your weird state of New York.
Yeah,
but
little tiny state.
What we had learned was this very watered down version of Thanksgiving, where we know that the pilgrims fled England, landed on Plymouth Rock. The Indians there taught them how to grow food, and as thanks, they invited them to a big feast in November.
The Americans taught them that.
Yes.
Just Americans.
Yeah. The OG Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be really confusing, though, if we refer to them as Americans.
We should. We should all consider ourselves immigrants.
Control now. F, replace all replace. Of my... So the thing is that article wasn't substantial enough, but I still wanted to find out who the Pilgrims really were and where Thanksgiving came from. So that's the subject of today's episode. Because I think pretty much anything you learn in elementary school, you can look back on now and say, there's probably more to that that's not as clean.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's when they were telling me, like, I remember I was in kindergarten and we had this, like, connect the dots thing, uh-huh. and you like paint by number pictures and stuff about
I know how clean coal works.
And I was always like, I don't know, and they're like, what do you prefer, fracking? And I was like, I don't know if either of those are a good source of energy as far as like when I grow up they might impact the climate. And they're like,
Pilgrims,
you color this turkey.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah,
so this is sort of a debunking episode, but not really, because there's many people that will say the events that took place like right after the Pilgrims landed in America were not as happy as everyone says, but much bloodier, much more depressing and stuff you wouldn't teach in school. And that's not really 100% true. The events that reportedly happened when the Pilgrims landed did happen. So like, that some aspects of the happy-go-lucky story actually did happen, but the bloodier stuff happened later on.
Okay.
And I don't know where to go from there other than just to talk about who the Pilgrims were and how Thanksgiving started. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Tell us about Thanksgiving, John.
Okay. So Britain sounded awful. They had like a king.
They did.
And they were telling them what to do. And the Pilgrims said collectively, in unison,
all of the Pilgrims,
you're not my mom.
Yes.
And then they fled to America.
Yeah.
And when they landed there, they found a cool rock.
Yeah.
And then they said...
It was shaped like a car.
I'm like, really hungry. Yeah, exactly. They're so hungry. They're so hungry. And they're like, there's nothing to do here. There's literally nothing. We're all going to just eat and get fat. Like, we got to find food. And then they found the Americans. And they said, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
They freaked out a little bit. And the Pilgrims said, we have guns. And they said, oh, let's eat.
All right. That's a pretty comprehensive history. I'm going to fill in a few gaps here. You were 100% right. England did sound awful. This is in the 1600s. And there are these groups of Puritans in England that were having their religion repressed. They were being told they couldn't practice the religion that they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So they did what anyone would do. And they tried to leave the country, which I think is kind of interesting because, like, everyone's like, oh, if so-and-so gets elected, I'm moving to Canada. Like, these people actually did that.
Yeah. Here's the other... it's a lot of... I mean, everybody says history repeats yourself, but then you don't get solid, specific examples, and this is it.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a certain aspect to, like, there are things that occur when human beings exist and start civilizations that are going to happen.
Yeah. Speaking of, we should do... dang, I forget what it's called. It's like Port Heroes or something?
Portmanteaus?
No. That's something else. Like the idea of like white dudes would show up at port cities and like do a couple things and then become this legend of the town of this port city.
Oh, cool.
And like people would worship them and
make statues and stuff.
Make statues of them. There's this idea that that's how we view aliens or like Jesus as an alien if you look at him through that lens. I'm getting way off topic here.
Whoa.
But people would be like, well, we were just a port city for this alien named Jesus that we named Jesus, and we're waiting for him to come back, and now we've worshipped him and built all these statues and stuff. About
like it. In the Adventure Zone. And what do you call it, town?
Refuge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like that. So that's the idea. I want to do an episode on that, but we'll get there when we get there. The interesting thing, though, is that they couldn't go to America right away. They knew that... This is another misconception. People knew that America was there. People had settled like some 100 years before this. And maybe I'm wrong on that. Christopher Columbus set sail in
1492.
Yeah, something like that. So this takes place in 1600. So it's been like 200-ish years. So there's already people from England that have settled there, like in Virginia. Roanoke has already happened, that sort of stuff. The Pilgrims actually settled in the Netherlands first because it was closer by, and they just wanted to escape, and the Netherlands had really lax laws that let them hang out there for almost 10 years.
Yeah, super chill.
Yeah, super chill. They're like, it is still kind of chill.
We've got free healthcare.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're pilgrims.
And they're like, sweet.
We got a lot of problems. So let's
hey,
do it.
Man, just like hang out. So they hung out for 10 years and they started to like run out of money. And they were afraid that they were going to like lose their culture and their language and all this stuff because they'd have to assimilate with the culture there.
Yeah, I hate when you go next door and you're worried about moving at like running out of money. So you decide to spend your money moving across the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
Yes. Well,
they're bad with money.
The thing is, they found a bank in England that would fund their travels, and there's 35 of these pilgrims or Puritans that were grouped together in the Netherlands. They got a boat, like a merchant boat, and found like 70 other people to join them on this trip to America. And that's when they set sail for the free world, America, as some people might call it.
On the dime of pre-US bank.
Yeah, pre-US bank.
Mm-hmm. They weren't united yet. Or states.
Not yet. Not for another few years.
But they had a hunch.
They're before their time. They only lasted like a couple years because people are like...
They didn't want to pay the overdraft fees. Yeah.
We don't know what you are. This joke has lost its point.
Mm.
Where was I going?
To so, the U.S.
We are going to the U.S. So the other interesting thing, though, is like I said, they knew that people were in Virginia, and the original plan was to sail down to Virginia and meet up with these people and interact with them. But we all know that's not how it happened. Mm-hmm. They ended up in Plymouth, Massachusetts, which...
Because they're dumb idiots. They know how to drive.
They don't know how to drive their dang boats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's just like driving a car, right?
You go. It was a straight line, Nick.
No, the Earth is flat. They didn't take account.
Right. Yeah,
idiot. So they got there in like the middle of November. They set out a scouting crew to the land to like scope out some areas, and they finally landed the Mayflower in December of 1620. I almost said 1920. That's a ways off.
They saw, yeah, they're getting ready for talkies
and the Depression. Yay! Just in time for Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
The first winter from 1620 to 1621, nearly half of the people that came over in the Mayflower died. So it was like 50-ish people left.
Did they throw them in the water after?
I don't know what they did. I don't want to think about what they did. They probably ate them.
Mm.
What do you think happened? You think they threw them in the water?
Yes, I do. I'd be like...
If you had a dead body in your hands, you just throw it in the water?
I'd be like, my son.
You're freaking Dexter over there.
My son. And then I'd just toss them and be like, well, that's more bread.
Oh, it's very, very dark.
It was a dark time.
So, come spring, they had a bit of a hero and a lucky break. They met up with I'm going to butcher this name, and I'm so sorry. Pokanoket tribe? Pokanoket tribe.
Can I take a look?
Right there.
Squanto.
Nope. That.
Pokanoket.
Yeah.
That's like the name of all my towns on Long Island. I lived in South Setauket. And we were by, like, Mississauga, or not Mississauga, Nassakeg Elementary and Arrowhead Elementary School.
That one's pretty easy to say.
Well, it's all Native American names.
But Arrowhead's, like, really, I think that's pretty Anglo, so. I'm just saying.
It is.
That one's not impressive.
No, yeah.
So, anyway, they met up with the Pokanoket tribe. Yep, I said that right. And they had
Ronkonkoma. How about that? Sorry, I'm just trying to impress you.
Not working. So they had this hero by the name of... Tisquantum, or also known as Squanto.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may have heard of Squanto. I hadn't, which kind of stinks. I feel bad.
He actually is. He got named that way because he was always
really nice thighs.
He's really good at squats. But also,
that's what I was getting at.
Ironically, it was really sunny out, and he would always squint, and they misheard him. He was supposed to be called Squanto
today. You're just stuffed with jokes. So, Squanto had a bit of a history.
Wait, they didn't... Hold on real quick and like pause the jokes. They really didn't teach you about Squanto in school?
I don't remember that name.
Wow.
Iowa sucks.
I did learn about Squanto.
What do you know about Squanto? Tell me about him, and then I'll correct you.
He was taught to me to be like the leader of the tribe that would like introduce himself and be like the communicator and like bring food to them and stuff.
Yeah, he wasn't the leader of the tribe, but he was... a communicator, which has something to do with his history. It's really interesting. They should like make a movie about it if they haven't already. I don't know. So in 1614 or 15, we all know John Smith.
Yeah, Dreamboat. Super generic. Blonde hair.
Yeah.
Love Pocahontas.
Great singer.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his men came to America, and what they don't tell you in Pocahontas, maybe they didn't watch it a long time.
I watched it recently. It's terrible. It's good, but it... Oof.
I don't know if this is in the movie, but they start taking Native Americans as slaves. Is that in the movie?
No.
The movie's just about finding gold, right?
Yeah, but they do kill some of them.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that
later. And they call them savages. Savages.
Something, something intro song. So Squanto was originally rounded up to be one of these slaves. However, when they took him back to Europe, he escaped their capture. I couldn't find how he did that.
Jokes. He told good jokes.
He was a real Rodney Dangerfield. That's how he got his name. I don't know how that connects. Let's let our listeners do that one. So he made his way back to America to reunite with his tribe. And when he got there, he found that most of his tribe had been killed off by smallpox. Yay!
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, John Smith, for leaving behind smallpox. It's not funny. So along the way, he learned to speak English. And like I said, by some stroke of luck, the pilgrims came across Squanto, who acted as a mediator between the pilgrims and the Poconoket tribe and their chief, Massasoit.
So at this point, he already knew that smallpox wiped out his people.
Yep.
And he's just immediately trusting to these people. He's not even questioning like if they have medium pox or large pox. If the smallpox weren't bad enough.
Yeah. He's like, oh God, what's next with 2.0? We'll get into his dynamic in a little bit because he had some motivations, but reportedly things started off pretty good. The natives there taught the pilgrims how to plant and grow corn as well as hunt and trap animals like beavers and stuff. And by the time fall comes around, they have this huge harvest of vegetables and all these animals that they've caught throughout spring and summer.
Oh, man, it's probably gross as hell.
Well, you go over there and have your tofurkey.
Yeah, but
Tofurk yourself.
There's a lot of, like corporatized images of a giant turkey and like pilgrims sitting around. And like you find that anywhere. You type in Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
I bet you they ate like beaver tails and stuff. And not the cool Canadian ones.
Well, we talked about, I believe last year we talked about what was actually at the Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, right? I want to go over that.
It was like grapes and stuff.
Grapes and beaver.
like
hummingbirds.
Like all the things that we eat today, like cranberries and stuff, weren't growing in America yet.
No.
So there's a lot of, they also probably didn't have turkey. They probably had, like you said, beaver. And
didn't they pigeons?
Other fowls? Yeah, other birds.
Birds that probably don't exist anymore that we don't know about.
Like the dodo.
Well, we know about that one.
I don't. Tell me about it.
It's a dirt.
Sorry,
it's
let
bird.
Me make up a bird name. Ready? Like the Lara Macaca.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I tried to combine like four different bird names.
Lara Macaca?
Yeah. Sounds kind of dirty. So all of these things are true so far. They had this huge harvest, and this is kind of where things start to go south in everything that I read. And I'm going to give sort of the history most agreed upon as near as I could tell. I'm working from a couple articles. There's one from Huffington Post, history.com, and a couple other places. So throughout the winter and the spring and the summer, the pilgrims were caught supposedly stealing from the natives' food stocks. I'm not 100% sure that's substantiated, but if it's true, that started to bring a rise to some tensions between the pilgrims and the Native Americans.
Yeah, they did it. I mean, come on.
No one knows.
I mean, probably.
Were you alive back then?
Probably, definitely, though.
I'm sure they did. What's generally agreed upon is that when the fall came, they had all these foods. Of course, they did have a feast, but the Indians were not likely there to begin with, which flies in the face of everything we've ever learned about Thanksgiving, right? Unless you learned something else in Long Island.
No, I mean, I don't remember.
Oh. I think the important thing to understand, though, and this is something that's kind of glossed over a lot, even in the articles I came across, I don't remember which one pointed this out, but it's important to understand that the pilgrims and Indians were not friends. And I think that a lot of people have this idealism in their brains that they were, like, getting along and they were friends with each other. And the truth is they had a symbiotic relationship where they needed each other to survive. Because the pilgrims, they were working class people in England, so they had no idea how to grow food. They kind of just left on a whim after being in another country for 10 years, not really doing a whole lot. And they needed the Indians or the Native Americans or the American Indians or the, what else can I call them to not be
Americans?
Insensitive Americans. They they taught them how to cook everything and taught them everything they know about not being working class people. And in exchange, the Indians wanted guns to protect their tribe from other Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important context, because then people will say pilgrims never returned the favor from the Indians teaching them how to plan all this stuff. They didn't even invite them to this giant feast they had.
Yeah.
And I think that's one myth to squash. The first one was people were already in America. The second one here is they had no right to return the favor. And it was an exchange of goods, and both parties got what they wanted out of it.
And the third one is actual squash was probably not there. Squash is squash.
Right. Yes. No squash.
Maybe.
I don't got a joke to piggyback off you there. But.
Off that? No. It's fine. It was solid.
So a bunch of articles, like I said, they said the Indians weren't invited. Supposedly, though, the Indians were alerted to the feast they were having when pilgrims started shooting off celebratory gunfire, and then the natives showed up and crashed the party.
Dude, rad.
Yeah, which I don't know if that's a bad thing or not.
That's good.
Other people say that gunfire started after the natives showed up, so like they're like,
get out of here,
wandering through the woods and like, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, so I don't know. But this isn't...
Squanto's trying to take our guns, is what they said.
They dig our jabs. We don't want gun control, Squanto.
Squanto, actually, ironically, huge gun control advocate.
Well, let me talk about Squanto real fast, because I don't want to forget it. He died because he was trying to turn the pilgrims on Massasoit, the chief of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get them to turn on them and destroy the entire tribe so that he could rise to power.
Oh, okay.
So he's a good guy. He's a great guy. That was his motivation this whole time, seems like. And then he died because of it. So nothing is so bloody so far. Like, this is actually a pretty good story, if you ask me, if you're going to go for this for the origins of Thanksgiving. But many historians won't turn to this feast as the beginning as of Thanksgiving. It's more of the... like the bleached version, the cleansed version, a much friendlier version, and it's much easier to teach in schools.
Mm-hmm.
But some 16 years later, there was an event known as the Pequot Massacre.
All right.
I know how to say that word because up in Minnesota, there's the Pequot Lakes where my grandparents have cabins.
There you go.
I know that one. So in 1637, there was a man, a white man, mm-hmm. it's important to point out, was found dead in his boat. And the settlers around blamed the local natives, naturally. None of their kind would kill a man, right?
Yeah.
So men and women alike went to this native village and started lighting things on fire and killing just anyone they saw. They ended up killing like 700 people. Good job.
That sounds like a bad job, Nick. I don't understand.
I call it a good job. I'm kind of a horrible person.
Okay.
After this massacre, though, they did something much worse. They had a big feast to celebrate. This ended up starting a tradition where people would go out and massacre a bunch of American Indians.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and then afterward...
A tradition?
Well, the tradition comes in where they would, after these massacres, they would have a feast to celebrate.
Okay, but they're like, we're going to go murder,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to eat
a bunch of food.
And it happened yearly.
It happened a lot, which starts some controversy, and we'll get into that. After our break, I got a couple things I want to button up before we go to our quick break. And then, So the weird thing, though, is that this wasn't necessarily the pilgrims doing this. It was a group of Puritans, but it wasn't like the OG pilgrims.
Okay.
And the original events of the pilgrims and these events are so far removed that the massacre seems to be forgotten by most Americans, certainly not forgotten by Native Americans, and replaced by this like struggling underdog story of the pilgrims.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Here's my stance, and I don't know if this is like really uneducated of me to say. I feel like if you're celebrating the original story of the pilgrims, it's not that bad. But the tradition actually started with these massacres, which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And beyond that, no one's really celebrating the original pilgrims, dude. Everyone, it's just all corporate now.
It is.
It's certainly. Just like,
yeah.
Let's eat. Let's find another reason to eat. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what all culture is based around.
And go shopping the next day or at 6 o'clock, depending on your location.
Yeah.
So I figured we could go to a quick break because the rest of the things I want to talk about kind of tie into some of the Facebook questions we got. And we'll just take a break and do that.
Okay.
All right, John, where can people find us?
StrangerStillShow.com, Twitter, at StrangerStill, and on Facebook.
All that stuff. Still. And most importantly, on Patreon.
So there are, we try to bring you good science, right?
Yeah, every once in a while we try.
Nick researches, and there's...
Just sit there and look pretty.
Every once in a while, he'll run into a paywall.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, we want to be able to rely on you guys to help us out.
Yeah.
So we can fund better education and help people...
Get you involved.
Not be dumb.
Yeah. The most important thing you can do is educate people. If you have a disagreement, education is the first key. I don't know where I was going
with
that.
The second key is stabbing.
Oh. If first you don't succeed, stab the other person right away. Mm-hmm. Got it. So yeah, you can also leave us reviews on iTunes and stuff, and we'll read them. And on Facebook, we usually have, like, fun stuff where we ask people for questions on the things that
we're covering. Or I'll just find stuff on my computer and post a video of me running away on, yeah, on a roller coaster.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's average. I mean, anyone could have done that, so it's whatever. Like I said before, Amanda B. linked the article on our Facebook group that inspired this. Just to talk a little bit more about how the Pilgrims were as people, they were, according to this article, they were also sexual deviants,
yes,
which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like, there's tons of documented cases of them just, like, getting it on with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at them as Puritans, so we think, no one's holier than thou. But
that's the other thing that I think is, like, I didn't think that either.
People.
No. One, they're just people, but, like, two, you're going to repress that stuff.
Huh?
You're going to be a pilgrim in the streets.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And a Puritan in the sheets, you know?
Gross.
You know?
So the punishment for women was much harsher than it was for men, which I think is pretty interesting to call out. Like, women would be whipped if they, like, had a bastard child and they wouldn't give up the father's name. They'd get, like, 30
Or if a man did something terrible and needed someone to blame.
Right. They, like, talked back.
99% of the time.
Yep. Men were just fined a little bit of money. That's it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you knocked up this single lady, all the single ladies. Here, pay us $10.
Mm-hmm.
Done. There's another myth I kind of wanted to dispel here. It goes back to all those, the celebrations with the massacres. So back in the day, they'd have these massacres, have a feast, and then celebrate like a year after that. Like, hey, we had this massacre a year ago, let's all celebrate. So there's all these different celebrations going on all over what was of America at the time. So there's this myth going around that George Washington wanted to combine all of the celebrations of the massacres, and that's when he introduced Thanksgiving Day.
So, okay. Did they even have a big long table, Nick?
Who?
The Pilgrims? To pose for the picture for the big turkey in the middle? Okay, how about this, though? Here's another real thing. You hear these stories, but, like, I guess the details are what really makes it a real thing. What did they do with the bodies? They're not going to bury them. They probably burned them in a big pile or just left them for the next year and had, like, surrounded by skulls and dead bodies.
Yeah.
That really paints a picture, too.
Yeah. Well, the point I wanted to make is that apparently George Washington didn't want to celebrate all these massacres at once. He reportedly wanted to honor the original Pilgrims and their voyage over here, because they actually did have a huge influence on America.
Yeah.
Like, we based our religious freedom on their act of leaving the oppressive England. And, I mean, that wasn't the only thing that inspired it, but it was certainly a part of it. That was early American history. I also think it's important to point out, like I said, we paint Puritans in a pure light. They were also really accepting of other cultures and religions and all walks of life.
Pilgrims?
Yeah.
Cool.
So that was really neat. And, like, they had 70 other people in their boat. They had to be accepting of them, right?
Yeah.
And I think this kind of odd, like, I saw that pointed out in an article. I thought it was kind of weird because you look at, like, modern Puritans, like the Amish. I think they're Puritan. They're close to it or whatever. That was so,
oh my God,
not accurate. But they seem to be, like, super accepting. Like, I go to the farmer's market and, like, we use a credit card and they're super cool about it, you know? Like, Shelby's exposing her ankles by wearing like shorts and ankle socks and they're cool about it.
There's that guy that says, "Here in my garage." What's his face?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There's an ad where the guy says, "Here in my garage with these books and this new Ferrari."
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah. He was on the H3H3 podcast, yeah, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And he talked about how he like would just disappear for like a week or two recently, mm-hmm. and he owns like an Amish farm, and he just like lives there and works with them and stuff. Huh. And he says that like he's happier there than at home in his big mansion because it's so simple.
Yeah,
and everybody's like everybody knows everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting. That paints him in a different light.
Yeah,
I hated him. Jeff Tibbetts, who I can say his full name because he has another podcast you should go listen to called Chapter Approved.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Warhammer 40K fan, he's the podcast to go to for all information on that.
Yeah, and
I wrote this down, but I didn't. You should go listen to it if you like it. Ding. So he watched Witch, the movie that I own and still haven't watched.
The Witch.
And yeah, it's spelled with two V's.
Witch. Thank you.
He wanted to know how accurate the way they spoke was.
Okay. Before you say that.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No. I watched the trailer.
I knew that, but I wanted you to say it. I've seen half of it.
Yeah.
But I did also look into...
So how do they talk?
They do... Okay. So...
That's what I want.
You've got a fair point, but I've also got a counterpoint.
What?
Your fair point is that they had British accents, and that's not real.
Right.
My counterpoint is they did consult historians to talk about which words were used and like did extensive research into making it correct.
Yeah. So the way that they talk, the words they use is historically accurate. The accent they have is not historically accurate. They talk in British accents, which as we know from a previous, like one of our first episodes, the British accent didn't come to America. It wasn't even around when they left England.
I'm putting this in as plausible. Plausible deniability.
Well, because they didn't have British accents.
But hold on. I don't know if they were, like, in that movie, like, came later and they were British or something.
No, you're not listening. You're not listening to our podcast. If you go back and listen to Why Do People Have Accents?
Yeah.
One of our first 5 episodes. I know that for a fact.
Okay.
We talked about how the British accent came in, like, the 1800s after, like, America was already established. We'd already gone through the industrial
revolution. Okay, but you didn't even watch the movie when in the first scene he burns his mouth on some hot beaver. He bit into a beaver sandwich.
Yeah.
And he burned his tongue and then he started talking like with a dialect.
Yeah. So back to the point, they would say stuff like good morrow, pray pardon me instead of excuse me. Instead of congratulations, they'd say huzzah. A skirt would be a petticoat. Backwards would be arsy varsy. I want to use that one. A cat would be a mouser.
Oh my god, these guys ruled.
Yeah, these guys are great. This is from Plymouth.org, so...
Man, my thoughts on them were just totally arsy-varsy.
Arsy-varsy. Man, we got to work that into more episodes.
It's because arsy backwards is arsy. What else did they say?
Sup, dude. I said that.
They totally did.
Yeah. And then the last thing from our Facebook page, Michael wanted to know if there are any crazy pilgrim stories like Roanoke.
Michaela.
What'd I say?
Michael.
I said Michaela, which is how...
It's Michaela.
Yeah. I'm always confused on that because I used to work with someone whose name was Michael that spelled like this.
Oh, weird.
So I always thought it was Michaela, and she's like, no, it's Michael.
We did also prank you once, me and Michaela.
We did?
Well, that me and her knew each other growing up, and you said, didn't you know this band?
Yeah. I didn't... I hate you. So, unfortunately, Roanoke happened like 60 years before the Pilgrims arrived, which I think would be an interesting episode if I can find enough stuff to make it worth doing an episode. Because I think we all know the story of Roanoke.
Yeah.
These people landed in Virginia. Some people left and some people stayed behind. And then when they came back, everything was gone and on a tree it was written Roanoke. And no one knows where they went.
Yeah, except it's obvious.
What happened?
I think they're just like, this sucks, man. Like, the British suck. Our colonies suck. Yeah. These Native Americans are rad. Let's just go live with them.
Let's just go assimilate with them.
And they said, like, but they're going to look for you. And they're like, not if we just, like, disappear everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, man, I want to leave at least something when I come back and visit. Because this is, like, my sentimental first place. So they, like, carved their name on the tree.
Yeah. So you just gave me this idea for the next hot CBS show. You ready?
Oh, boy.
CSI Roanoke.
Oh, man.
It's a period piece. Okay. So it takes place in the 1500s. And it's about these Europeans that come over to America, the New World,
mm-hmm.
freshly settled, and they find out that the people they had left behind are completely gone.
Yeah.
So the entire show is just them looking for
them. Oh, my God. And in the first episode, they get a little piece of bark, and they put it in their computer, and they start hacking
Enhance.
And it, like, rotates. There's, like, a 3D model of it.
Coming this spring.
Is that all you got?
That's all I got. So yeah, so unfortunately, I also did look for if there were any crazy stories about like the Pilgrims or early Americans, and I couldn't really come across any as prolific or documented as Roanoke. So maybe I'll look some more, and if we do an episode about Roanoke.
Yeah. So they came here. They're like, we're mad hungry.
Yep.
And they ate some food. Uh-huh. They hung out with some Americans.
Yep.
They got it on.
Yeah. Like Donkey Kong.
Yep. They were really gross about misogyny.
Uh-huh.
And then they... That's it. That's
they
it.
Were Americans after that. So that's all I got. You got anything else?
That's... Nope.
Have a good Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah. What's one thing you're thankful for, Nick? Don't say me.
Why would I say you?
Listen, just tell me one thing that you're thankful for besides the obvious answer that you would have definitely picked, which is me.
I'm thankful...
Like, don't even hint that it would be me that you're thankful for. Like, if you said that, I would... That's, like, specifically what I asked you not to do.
All right, I'm thankful for two things.
Okay.
I'm going to do one, you do one, and then we'll come back to me.
Okay.
First thing I'm thankful for is Ukraine.
Nicholas... Ukraine? Did you say? It's a good place.
Not really, actually.
Oh, let's talk about it.
That's a different episode. No, I... In all sincerity, I'm thankful... I'm trying to think of something that's not cheesy because that's what everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also trying not to think of like the obvious joke, you know, because I could be like, I'm thankful that I can't even think of anything.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that I have a house. No, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that there are still people out there that believe completely bonkers things like flat earth. Or 9/11 truthers, or the moon landing was faked. So then we have things to make episodes about.
Okay, yeah, I hate them, but okay.
I hate them too. Like they're scum of the earth, and some of them are very harmful. Like anti-vaxxers are very harmful. But at least we get content out of it.
Sure, yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, you said two things though, Nick.
Yeah, you go next, and then I'll do my last one.
Okay, I'm thankful for supporters of this program like you.
Dang it, that was my thankful thing, because we have a new Patreon supporter.
Patreon. Oh, we do?
Yeah.
What?
So do we thank our last one? We thank Justin Vignola.
We thank Justin Vignola. Yeah.
Our second Patreon supporter is... Drumroll.
I didn't bring anything. I don't have a snare. Like I have.
I told you to bring your snare.
I've got no... My sticks are at home.
I told you just to leave your snare here.
Yeah.
You need a spare snare.
I needed it at home because someone was announcing something at my house.
How many times do I have to tell this to you?
They were gonna
I told you to go to Walmart.
Yeah.
Make some spare snares.
Uh-huh.
Give me a copy. Put one in a hide-a-snare in your front lawn.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how many times we have to go over this.
Should I do it with my lips or the table, which is what you prefer?
Just forget it. Our second supporter is Jason Lee.
Yeah. Oh, man. What a little fella.
I know. Jason's a great guy. He's very active on our Facebook page and is always giving us... feedback on our show, which, hey, if you have feedback for us, we want to hear it because this show is for you.
Yeah.
Like, it started out being for us, but now it's become a show for you, which you can hear all about in our bonus episode on patreon.com/strangerstill.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. Thank you, Jason. So what are you actually thankful for, John?
My appendix.
Okay. You still have it?
Yeah, it helps me. It helps me grind stones and pebbles.
That's what I have my gizzard for.
Yeah.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This is Stranger Still.